Let's take our Bibles as we finish Ephesians chapter 6 regarding the armor of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6. This is part two of what we started this morning. Over 100 years ago, Charlotte Elliott wrote these words: "Christian, seek not ye repose. Hear thy gracious Savior say, thou art in the midst of foes, watch and pray. Principalities and powers, mustering their unseen array, wait for thy unguarded hours, watch and pray. Watch as if on that alone hang the issues of the day. Pray that help may be set down. Watch and pray." Victory against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of this darkness of this world involves a tremendous commitment to prayer. For as we put on the gospel armor, each piece is to be put on with prayer, which is precisely what Paul is saying here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." This morning, we looked at three of the five aspects of all prayer, which are all prayer is to be Spirit-directed. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Why do we need to pray in the Spirit? Because the Spirit does two supernatural things. The Spirit of God directs our prayers. We need Spirit-directed prayers. I quoted the verse from Romans 8, verse 26, "For the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." Ladies and gentlemen, to pray according to God's word, obviously we need the word of God, but we need the Spirit of God directing us according to the word of God. And so we need to say, "Lord, Holy Spirit, direct my prayers. Teach me what I need to pray. How do I need to pray in respect to this situation or that situation? Might I pray in the Spirit?" And then secondly, the Spirit of God strengthens our prayers. Strengthens us as we pray. Christ said, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The Spirit is willing, but what? The flesh is weak." And so how we need not only the direction of the Spirit of God, but the strength of the Spirit of God. You know, we give up quickly, don't we? And we need the Spirit of God to just keep us keeping on. We need the Spirit of God to just keep us praying on. And so we need to pray in the Spirit. A second aspect of all prayer that we looked at this morning is it is to be continual. Praying always. Life should be God-conscious living. We don't pray at set times. We are to pray at all times. There should be a continual communion. Whether it's necessarily verbal or not, there should be that continual presence of the living God that you sense, that you feel as you walk through the day. When I sense the Spirit of God, you know, it kind of puts a, the presence of God, you know, it kind of puts a halt on certain attitudes. It puts a halt on certain things that maybe the flesh would like to look at, or the flesh would like to see, or the flesh would like to do, listen to. The flesh would like to say. It's amazing when you know the presence of the Lord, when you're in fellowship with the Lord. And then third, all prayer is to be persistent. Paul says, a watching thereunto with all perseverance. With all perseverance, which simply means we keep on asking, we keep on seeking, and we keep on knocking. We don't take no for an answer. Well, this evening, I want us to look at the fourth and fifth aspects of all prayer. And they are prayer. All prayer is varied. And third, all prayer is intercessory prayer. Let's pray, and then we'll begin. Father, thank you so much that we can look to you. Thank you that we can pray to you. Lord, teach us not only how to pray, but might in the process we be reminded how important, how necessary it is to pray. And Lord, might this be a church that goes forward on its knees. Lord, that we don the armor of God with prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Fourth aspect of all prayer is it is varied. Paul states in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication. The Greek word translated prayer refers to general requests, while the Greek word translated supplication refers to more specific requests, which tells us we are to pray continually, precisely, as directed and empowered by this Holy Spirit, all kinds of prayer. Meaning every form of prayer that is appropriate, we are to pray. Now, usually public prayers are more general prayers, or private prayers are more specific prayers. But whatever is appropriate, prayers of confession, prayers of thanksgiving, prayers of intercession, prayers of adoration, prayers of meditation, prayers of being humble before God, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, prayers are to be prayed. We are to pray these prayers while standing, while sitting, while kneeling, while lying down, at home, at church, while working, while traveling, with folded hands, with raised hands, with eyes open, with eyes closed, with head bowed, with head erect. Oftentimes, Kay and I, when we're traveling, we used to go to Greenville all the time, and we don't do so all the time now. In fact, we hardly ever go up to Greenville. But as I've told you before, invariably, as we would either be going or coming, we would pray together. Kay would say, well, you want to pray? And of course, I kept my eyes open while I prayed, which probably was a good thing. Amen. But I'll tell you, what a privilege to pray various prayers at any time. And to pray with your spouse, to pray with your children. How important to teach our children at an early age that dad and mom believe prayer is important. Do your children, parents, see that prayer is important to you? Do you take time, dads, to lead your family in family devotions in a time of Bible reading and prayer? Do you take time to do so? You know what that says to your children? Prayer, spending time with the Lord, is important. These varied prayers, again, are to be wherever we are, in whatever situation we are in. As 1 Timothy 2:8 says, I will therefore, Paul speaking, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Throughout the flow of life, at times general, at times specific, specifically we are to pray. Again, we are told, pray appropriate prayers. And then the fifth aspect of all prayer is it is intercessory prayer. It is intercessory in nature, which simply means we intercede, we pray for others. Paul says we are to watch thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We are to intercede in our prayers for the saints, for God's people. Elsewhere, Paul commands us to pray for unbelievers, for government leaders, for others. But here he tells us our prayer focus is on all the saints. You know, I think it's significant that Paul says all the saints. You know, sometimes we have our favorites. You know, well, I'm going to pray for so-and-so, but I don't like that other person, so I'm not going to pray for him or her. Or she and I just don't get along. Brother, sister, those are the ones you need to pray for most. And I think you'll find when you pray for people, oftentimes people that you have issues with. You know, that's the big word today, issues. I have an issue with that person. Oh, really? What are you taking for your issue? But the people that you have issues with, you should be praying for them the most. You know what that does for you? It helps you to see that person minus their issues. It really does make a huge difference of how you look at a person for whom you're praying. And I know I've told you that so often, but it really does work. I mean, I hear regularly, in whether it be here, whether it be other churches, oh, well, you know, so-and-so said this, or so-and-so said that. Or, you know, my wife has an issue with this is a recent one. My wife has issues with the ladies in the church. Oh, really? Can I be very frank? What am I supposed to do about that? You're right, Jerry. What am I supposed to do with a lady having issues with other ladies in the church? I mean, you know, you kind of put your thumb in your mouth and say, what am I supposed to say? But you pray. Pray. Pray for all the saints. Now, why does Paul mention here in this particular passage of Scripture the saints, the believers? Because it is only the saints, the Christian soldiers, who are engaged in spiritual warfare. And so following the description of the armor we as believers are to put on, Paul rightly requests prayer for the saints who are to don this armor. And so Paul rightly requests prayer. He requests prayer for you and I who are to put on the armor of the Lord. To put it on properly, to put it on effectively, to put it on, obviously, with prayer. Now, honestly, the greatest thing that you and I can do for others, for other believers, is to pray for them. For that is a primary way the body of Christ grows spiritually. Let me say that again. Praying for others is a primary way the body of Christ grows spiritually. A church that minimizes prayer is a church that's not growing spiritually. A church that maximizes prayer is a church that's growing spiritually. Why? Because you are praying for one another. And when you pray for one another, you insert God, you insert the Lord, you insert the Spirit of God into the picture of the church. prayer is a catalyst for growth in the church. When one member of the body is weak or wounded or can no longer properly function, the other members compensate by supporting, by helping, by strengthening those members. And a necessary way to do so is through prayer. That is why we have prayer requests, so we know specifically how to pray for one another. Samuel said to the Israelites, "God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you." Now, this might sound pretty blunt, but we sin against God when we fail to pray for fellow saints. We are sinning when we fail to pray for fellow saints. And really, we sin as well, not only against God, but against each other when we fail to pray for each other. Praying for God's people is a great blessing to God's people. I appreciate when people say, "Pastor, I'm praying for you." I had a lady this morning tell me, "Pastor, I prayed for you. Why does it matter?" Because it is strengthening. When you pray for someone else, not only does it strengthen your heart, but it strengthens the heart of those you're praying for. For they are then in a better position. And this might sound kind of self-serving or selfish, but when you pray for others, when you pray for the strength of others, then they are in a better position to be a blessing then to you. That's what the body of Christ is all about. I pray for you, you pray for me. I pray that God will strengthen and bless and encourage you, give you victory in the battles of life. You pray for me that God will give me in the victory in the battles of life. We're strengthening one another. We're growing in God's grace and knowledge. We're getting victory over the principalities, the powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world. But it doesn't happen without prayer. You know what I think prayer, one of the beautiful things about prayer is that it kind of, I shouldn't say kind of, that's a cheap word, you know, kind of. What does kind of mean? Kind of. Sort of. Define that. We need to use strong words, amen? Praying for others moves the focus off of you. It is said that before the outbreak of the Spanish Civil War, that Spain was experiencing an epidemic of neurosis. But the war had its unexpected effect of curing many of Spain's thousands of neurotics, because when they became concerned about the welfare of their families, friends, and country, instead of their own problems, their neurosis disappeared. Which tells me when we as believers pray faithfully for others, it helps move us beyond our own self-centered mindset and worries. And again, by strengthening others, they in turn are then in a better position, state of mind and heart, to help strengthen us. It's amazing what happens when you begin to pray for others. It's amazing what happens when you begin to pray for others, not only what happens in your own heart, but what happens in the hearts of others when you pray for them. You say, "Well, Pastor, that takes time." You know, it takes time to pray. It takes effort to pray. I don't have a lot of time. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You have a lot more time than you think. How about going to work? What do you do with the time you spend driving to work? What do you do with the time when you come home? I mean, do you all of a sudden just turn on the television? Why don't you take 10, 15 minutes to pray before you turn on the television? Now, Paul included himself in the category of intercessory prayer for all the saints. Notice verse 19. He says, "And for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for the which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Now, compared to most believers, Paul was far more gifted, courageous, morally upright, and spiritually strong than those around him, than any of us. As we say, he had it all together. You know, he could check off his category. I mean, his list of needs. I mean, he could check off. Got that one covered, got that one covered, got that one covered, and so forth. From a fleshly perspective. But still we see him pleading with his fellow believers, the saints, to pray for him. And his prayer request, he asked not to be freed from prison, not to be freed from the shackles that bound his hands and his feet. Rather, his deep concern, his heart's desire, was that utterance may be given unto him. Why? So that he could boldly and faithfully proclaim the gospel. Verse 20, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now, obviously, Paul was a leader of the New Testament church, and so how important it is to pray for the spiritual well-being, the spiritual effectiveness of God's leadership. For the enemy knows when he can successfully strike the shepherd, the sheep will scatter. And so again, Satan's special targets, pastors, evangelists, Christian leaders, need the prayers of the saints even more. Remember, Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 25, "Brethren, pray for us." And as I said on Wednesday, God's people need to pray in five ways for God's servants, for pastors, for men like Josh and his wife. We need to pray for their safety. We need to pray for God's will to be done in their lives. We need to pray that God will give these men and ladies wisdom. We need to pray for their spiritual integrity. We need to pray for their spiritual effectiveness. Yes, in preaching the gospel. I ask you, when I preach, that you pray that the preaching of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, will go forth boldly from this pulpit, will go forth boldly in an effective, Spirit-anointed way, that when people come into this place, that they know, that they sense that the Spirit of God is here and that He is working through His instrument, that He is speaking through His vessel, that I'm simply a channel through which His message of hope, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news can go forth, and it can go forth in power. Paul asks in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 1, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you." Paul's prayer-filled desire was that the word would run from one place to another and be honored when people obey it. I think it again is noteworthy. Worth noting that even when Paul requested prayer for himself, Paul's purpose and motive were selfless. He asked prayer to further not his cause, but the cause of the gospel of Jesus Christ. and encourage other believers to honor and glorify the Lord. About Paul's Christianity was all about others. It was all about preaching the gospel to others. It was all about fellow believers walking in the truth, walking worthy of the vocation wherewith they were called. Whether we eat or drink or whatsoever we do, to do all to the glory of God. And evidently this prayer was answered. For if you'll turn over a page to Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. Put things in chronological context here. Philippians was written some 10 years after the book of 1 Thessalonians and shortly after the book of Ephesians. So what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians, brethren, pray for us. What Paul said here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. We see then what he says or said in verse 12 of Philippians 1. But I would that ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Praise the Lord. Paul said that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Utterance may be given unto me. And that utterance was given unto him, and the result we've just read in Philippians chapter 1. Many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some years ago, the record of a wonderful work of grace in connection with one of the stations of the China Inland Mission attracted a great deal of attention. Both the number and spiritual character of the converts had been far greater than at other stations where the consecration of the missionaries had been just as great. This rich harvest of souls remained a mystery until Hudson Taylor, on a visit to England, discovered the secret. At the close of one of his addresses, a gentleman came forward to make his acquaintance. In the conversation which followed, Mr. Taylor was surprised at the accurate knowledge the man possessed concerning this China Inland Mission station. "But how is it," Mr. Taylor asked, "that you are so conversant with the conditions of that work?" "Oh," he replied, "the missionary there and I are old college mates. For years we have regularly corresponded. He has sent me names of inquirers and converts, and these I have taken daily to God in prayer." At last the secret was found, a praying man, praying definitely, praying daily for this particular station being led by the China Inland Mission. I say, brethren, pray for us. Pray for me. I say, pray for our missionaries. The Lord burdened my heart this past week in a greater way to pray for our missionaries. And I want to propose something to you tonight. In Jerusalem, some of us have had the privilege of being in Jerusalem. There is the Wailing Wall. And what happens at the Wailing Wall? People pray. And it's amazing all the prayer requests written upon little pieces of paper that are stuck in the cracks of that wall. I mean, they're just thousands and thousands and thousands of these little prayer requests. But men, go there to pray. I would like to ask you to every Sunday and every Wednesday to go down that hallway where we have our missionary pictures. Behind the picture of our missionary family is their prayer list or their prayer letter. And I'd like you to take that prayer letter. You don't even have to read every word, but you can get the gist of it pretty quickly, what they want you to pray for. I've started doing this. You know, I walk by back and forth from my office back to the secretary's office probably several times a day. And I thought, well, why not, and maybe I don't have to do it every time, but why not stop while I'm walking past these pictures of our missionaries and pick one of them, take up their prayer letter, and read that prayer letter, and then pray for that missionary. I thought, well, if the Lord is convicting me to do that, maybe he's convicting maybe the church should be doing that. And so I would encourage you, I would challenge you, before you leave tonight, and again, there might be, again, I don't even know what's going to happen, but before you leave tonight, I would encourage each one of you to go to our missionaries, pull out one of the letters, look at it, and pray for the specific needs of that missionary. Then if you want to take the letter, fine. If you want to make a copy of it, fine. But then, you know, maybe put that letter back so that someone else can pray specifically for that missionary. But I want to call that area on the back wall there, in the hallway, our missionary praying wall. Our missionary praying wall. I really believe that if you and I get a burden to pray regularly, consistently for our missionaries, the requests that they are asking us to pray for, I really believe we will see some miraculous work done. Brethren, it matters in this matter of the armor of God that we prayerfully put it on, that we stand against the wiles of the devil on our knees, and that our prayer is spirit-directed, continual, persistent, varied, intercessory. And I say, might this be the day we truly turn to prayer to realize Ephesians 6, verse 10, which says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We'll sing this song in just a few minutes, but I think it's the third verse. It says, stand up for Jesus, stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you. Ye dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. Where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. Albert Ritz has written, living in thee, Lord, and thou in me, constant abiding, this is my plea. Grant me thy power, boundless and free, power with men, and power with thee. Here we find the spiritual pattern for prayer. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Father, I pray that we'll be a people who pray. Lord, not just because the emphasis is today on prayer. I think too often, you know, we jump here and we jump there, and oh, the emphasis today is on studying the Bible, and the emphasis today is on witnessing, and the emphasis today is on praying, and the emphasis today is on being good to the poor or whatever. And, you know, we get real excited about, yes, this is what we need to do, and for a day or two or a week we do it. But then we're kind of, we just slide back into the ways that, the way it used to be. Lord, I see that in my own heart. Lord, I can get excited on a Sunday morning or a Sunday evening, and then 2 or 3 hours later back home, it's like, Lord, did you even speak to my heart? Lord, work in us. God's people need a revival. Lord, we need to be stirred. We need to put forth the effort that is necessary to do the work of the ministry, to battle against the enemy of our souls. I think people are being defeated and destroyed, and they don't even realize it. They are making choices, they are making decisions that are so anti-God, that are so pro-flesh, and they don't even realize it. They don't even realize how weak and vulnerable they really are. Lord, as Kay and I have talked so often, you know, for so long, we had the formula. We knew what Christianity was to look like. We had been taught, this is Christianity. And yet, I know I can say from personal testimony how short I fell from what I preached was the standard of Christianity. Oh, Lord, work in us. Work in the hearts and lives of Westside, Lord. Might we take time before we go home tonight to pray for at least one of these missionaries? Might we take time to pray for the pastors of this church? Might we take time to pray for the leaders of this church? Might we take time to pray for all the saints of this church? Might we take time to pray? Pray that the gospel will go forth in power. Pray that when the unsaved come, they come under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. How sad it is when people come and they don't even feel convicted by the Word of God. Lord, work in our midst. Work in me. Work in me. In Jesus' name, amen.